recorrer. Y desde aquel alto ejemplo, para nosotros siempre 26.
Siempre 26. Welcome to the Voices from the Frontline segment of the 4 o'clock Public Affairs Hour on KPFK 90.7 FM in Los Angeles, 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara. This is Tammy Bang-Lu, and I'm here with my co-host Manuel Criollo. Joining us today will be Digoberto Rodriguez Bracera, the ambassador of the Cuban Interest Section of the Swiss Embassy in Washington, D.C., to talk about the Bush administration's commission for assistance to a free Cuba and their new 500-page report and its implications for the Cuban people. Following him to talk about the Cuban Solidarity Movement and what we can do to support Cuban self-determination is Walter Lippmann, webmaster of Cuba News and longtime Cuban Solidarity activist. Closing up the hour, we'll talk with a member from Californians for Justice to discuss their upcoming action marking the 50th anniversary of Brown versus the Board of Education. We'll be right back. Late last year, the Bush administration established the Commission for Assistance to a Free Cuba, which consists of Secretary of State Colin Powell, HUD's Mel Martinez, Homeland Security's Tom Ridge, the National Security Advisor's Condoleezza Rice, among others. Last week, the commission released its initial report, a 500-page document that details recommendations to undermine Cuban sovereignty. With us on the line today is Digoberto Rodriguez, an ambassador of the Cuban Interest Section of the Swiss Embassy in D.C. Digoberto, are you there?
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you for joining us today.
It's a pleasure for me, Tom.
Yes. So as I opened up, the commission just came out on its report. Can you give us some detail on what their recommendations were and what implications will these have for the Cuban people if implemented?
Well, Tommy, as you mentioned, this is a very long report, you know, more than 460 pages, full of misinformation and lies on Cuba. But maybe, you know, we should talk briefly about the measure that this report is proposing. Basically, the document outlines several strategic steps to topple the Cuban government. That includes, for example, increased support to fabricate an internal opposition in Cuba, stepping up international smear campaigns against Cuba, intensified subversive action and disinformation against Cuba, a new move to affect the Cuban economy. Just as an example, they are devoting $69 million for this new effort to overthrow the Cuban government. Yes.
No, can you give us, go on please, give us some examples of those specific measures.
Yes, I mentioned, well, the $69 million, for example, over the next 2 years, to pay basically action aimed at destroying the revolution. Among other things, for example, they are proposing creating an international fund to develop what they call civil society in Cuba, which will engage, for example, volunteers from third countries to travel to our country, and they say to provide assistance to the mercenaries working for the United States in Cuba. In practice, Tommy, this means organizing a messenger corps to supply financial and logistic support to the counter-revolution in Cuba. Other measure, for example, is allocating $18 million for the misnamed TV and radio Martí broadcasting from a military plane. This is a kind of course, provocation against Cuba. They are devoting a lot of money for maintaining and increasing public campaigns against Cuban third countries. So they are allocating $5 million for this effort. They are limiting those who receive remittances, money remittances in Cuba, and package to the immediate family of Cuban resident in the United States. It means that they are changing the concept of family. They are deciding who can be a member of a family or not. And this is, especially this measure have a very serious consequences for Cubans in Cuba, but also for Cuban Americans, for Cubans who live in the United States. They are limiting, you know, the trip to Cuba by Cuban Americans. You know that right now the law permit one travel a year to Cuba, one trip a year. Now they are saying that they will allow only one in 3 years. They are reducing, for example, the amount of money that Cuban Americans can spend in Cuba, the per diem, from $164 to $60 a day. They are restricting even more licenses for educational trips and academic exchanges. Now they are saying that they will authorize a student to visit Cuba when the trip serves to the U.S. government policy towards Cuba. It means that, you know, the person who want to visit Cuba have to declare themselves agents of the American government policy towards Cuba. They are also stepping up effort to involve third countries' government in campaigns against Cuba. They say that they are going to continue denying visa to Cuban officials who have to travel to the United States, and other measures. It's a very long report, but basically, you know, all those measures are designed first to affect the Cuban economy, and secondly to divide the families, the Cuban family, and to affect also Cuban Americans who are supportive of a better communication with Cuba.
And there are also specific recommendations to limit the amount of remittances allowed. Can you give us a little idea? I understand that there's $800 million in remittances, and what would that mean for the economy and the people in Cuba if those were striped away?
Well, remittances are very important, especially for families in Cuba. For them, it's very, very important. They are not reducing the ceiling, the cap for the money remittance. You know that there is already a restriction that say that only $1,200 can be sent to a household in Cuba per year. They kept the same cap, but they are reducing the family who are eligible for receiving that. First, they say that the family member in Cuba cannot be a member of the Communist Party, which means that, you know, 100,000 people are out of that connection with Miami. And in fact, you know, they are also, you know, taking additional measures on travel, a common way used by Cubans to, you know, to convey money to their families in Cuba.
I mean, one of these things, I just spent time reading the executive summary because it's a long report, but some of the recommendations it talks about to design an effective privatization program as well as prepare enterprise for privatization. Another suggestion was to try to implement first steps towards a negotiated U.S.-Cuba free trade agreement. They're talking about making Cuba rejoin the International Monetary Fund, the World Bank, the Office of American States. I mean, this is basically to set up a very contrast distinction from an imperialist society to one that Cuba is engaged in, which is an actual socialist society. So for some of our listeners who aren't familiar with some of the gains from the Cuban Revolution, could you talk about some of that?
Exactly. You are right. You know, the report contains 6 chapters. I just mentioned measures related to first chapter. The other 5 include measures for what they dream of a, you know, future Cuba. They say that after Fidel Castro, Cuba have to be designed in the way that they are designed right now. So they are proposing this measure for assisting Cuba that day. You know, it has been for 40 years a dream of different American governments to topple, you know, to overthrow the Cuban government, and what they are trying to do right now is a complete plan of destabilization of a legitimate country for achieving that purpose and destroy all the gains of the Cuban Revolution. They cannot stand that Cuba, even though has been under this blockade for more than 40 years, has been able to build a different society, a new society, where everybody have equal opportunities, where, you know, every citizen have free access to education, health care, and all the basic things are guaranteed. They are trying precisely to destroy the base of the Cuban revolution and the Cuban system.
Mm-hmm. You know, since you guys are situated over there in Capitol Hill, I mean, one of the big questions we're all obviously trying to go over time and time again is what can we do in the U.S. to stop U.S. intervention in Cuba? Are there any splits over there in Capitol Hill that we can take advantage of? Any U.S. representatives or any forces that are trying to make something happen? Any in terms of normalizing relations, ending the blockade? Can you give people basically a balance of forces there? Who's in support and trying to make something happen in terms of moving towards any normalized relation? And then who are folks that we should begin to pressure in terms of trying to stop what the commission is trying to do?
Yes, Tommy, right now there is a very, interesting movement in Congress regarding Cuba, especially in the last 2-3 years. Right now I can tell you that the majority of the members of the U.S. Congress support a change of the policy toward Cuba, especially in issues like, for example, lifting the travel restrictions. In the last 2-3 years, there has been votes in the House and also in the Senate that show that the vast majority of the members favor, lifting the restrictions. Right after the U.S. government issued this report, a group of members of the Congress, in the case of the House, 16 and 5 senators, sent a letter to President Bush rejecting this report and suggesting a different approach, which is basically to normalize relations with Cuba. Names like Senator Larry Craig from Idaho or Senator Byron Dorgan from North Dakota has been supporting this different approach. In the House, there has been several members like Bill Delahunt from Massachusetts, Jeff Flake from Arizona. I mentioned just two names because that represent and show that right now there is a bipartisan support of a change to the policy towards Cuba in Congress. I think that, any action that permit the elected representative of every interested person in the each of Cuba could be helpful for continuing, strengthening that support in Congress for a change of the policy. That could be very important to let them know that the American people care about the issue and they don't agree with the idea of, implementing new measures to create more problems in the relation with Cuba just for the sake to satisfy the small minority of hardliners, terrorist group organizations in Miami for electoral and political reasons.
Dagoberto, this is Manuel Criollo. I'm co-host here with In Voices from the Frontlines. ¿Cómo estás? One question I have is what we see is what has been. I know there's been a shift in the Cuban American community where there is folks who are recent arrival or from the 80s and the 90s who want normalized relationships with Cuba and are rejecting some of the old liners who are pushing for some ridiculous things which are printed up in this commission. Could you give some texture of what those voices are saying, and also what is people in Cuba saying out of the report that was published by the Bush administration?
Yes, Manuel. The vast majority of the members of the Cuban American community support a change of the policy because they are the first victim of this policy. They cannot have a normal communication with their relatives in Cuba. So the vast majority of the Cuban American community support a change of the policy. What happened is that a small minority of hardliners and terrorists in Miami has been able to keep control of the media and all the political machinery in Dade County. So for this vast majority, what I call the silent majority, it's very difficult to advance their opinion and to for having their voices heard in the community. But we are convinced that those people has been voting in favor of a different relation with Cuba when they visit the island every year. Last year, more than 120,000 Cuban Americans from South Florida visit Cuba. That means a lot, and they are really affected right now. We have been receiving the last 3 days many calls and letters and emails, fax from this community complaining and rejecting this measure. In my opinion, there will be a price to be paid by the administration for this decision to limit the visit to Cuba, the capacity of those people, those Cuban Americans in South Florida to assist, to help their relatives in Cuba. And in Cuba, the reaction you can imagine, you know, is a reaction of, you know, anger. But let me tell you, we have been, you know, receiving this kind of action from different U.S. administration for over 40 years. So the decision in Cuba is to continue resisting and to continue building our revolution. We feel that we are stronger than ever. So, you know, we are capable to face this new measure and any other that this administration could advance in the near future.
You know, Digoberto, I went to Cuba back in 2000. Now with the people exchange being limited and a lot of the educational exchanges being limited, very few people will be able to actually witness what day-to-day conditions are like in Cuba. Can you give folks an idea of what does it mean to be trying to hold on to the gains of the revolution under such harsh conditions as the embargo or what you guys called the special period? Can you problematize some of the impacts of the U.S. intervention on the Cuban people?
You know, it will create more problems, Tommy. There will be more sacrifices to be made by the Cuban people, but this measure will not stop the decision of the Cuban people to continue building socialism and the success of the revolution. There are many new social programs in Cuba, and the program will continue going on. This is the dream of the revolution, and we will achieve that. We will be able to overcome this this situation. We have said in Cuba that we will, no doubt for anybody, that we will fight this measure adopted by the American government. We will defend from this measure with the law, and we will defend itself with weapon whenever this is necessary, even down to the last drop of blood of but we are hopeful that concerted action by the American people will stop this craziness from this administration. There is no sense to try to punish a nation like Cuba, who, by history and, you know, for many other reasons, is a friendly nation to the American people. There are no hard feelings in Cuba. There are no hatred in Cuba against Americans. On the contrary, we are, you know, the peace-loving people. We really want to have a normalized relation with the U.S., but what we cannot accept is that the foreign power tried to impose on Cuba its system, a foreign power tried to limit our sovereignty. We cannot accept that. Again, we will continue working hard for achieving all our goals, all our dreams, and we are pretty confident that we will be able to overcome and succeed in this endeavor.
Well, thank you so much, Digoberto Rodriguez. We've got one more minute left. Can you give our listeners ways to contact the Cuban interest section over there in the Swiss Embassy and any websites or telephone numbers in case people have any questions?
Yes, our phone numbers are 202-797-8518, 202-797-8518. 97-85-19, and you know, anytime anybody want to contact us for any question, or if that person want to visit Cuba or to find ways or whatever, we are here ready to assist. Thank you so much for giving this opportunity, Tommy.
Thank you so much. Up next, we'll have Walter Lippmann to talk about the Cuba Solidarity Movement here in the U.S. You're listening to Voices from the Frontline segment of the 4 o'clock Public Affair Hours. This is Tammy Bang Liu with Manuel Criollo. This is KPFK 90.7 FM Los Angeles, 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara. You can stream live on the web, kpfk.org. We'll be right back after a short break.